Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the 6th day of September 2005. Glad you've joined us. We're the station that helps you think better, unlike other radio stations that help you just talk more or listen to something more. This one actually causes you to do a little bit more than that, to think a little bit deeper. And we are going to try to do that today, as we do with on every day with different news stories and so forth that we have. We're looking forward to a great edition today of Christian Worldview. And we are glad that our technical difficulties have been patched. You know, for the last several days, we've been with Rip and Richie in his studio. Glad for the opportunity to be able to do that. It's good to have somewhere else we can go to do the Christian Worldview show. However, this morning, we're back in the saddle right here at our normal location just because we have patched our technical problem. Apparently, the technical problem is not going to be permanently fixed for almost another month, or a couple weeks at any rate. But we're glad to be up on the air for the time being, at any rate, as we are, and things look to be going pretty well. Well, at any rate, we've had quite a discussion over several things. One of which, of course, is Chief Justice Rehnquist dying, as we talked about yesterday, and George W. Bush replacing him, planning to replace him with this new guy, Roberts, the apparently pro-abort guy, and the anti-property rights Roberts, who's supported by, unfortunately, the Christian right. The Christian right wing seems to think that there's nothing that George W. Bush can do that's wrong. If he's in office, he's going to support the evangelicals. But all he does is ever give lip service to what evangelicals want, and in the end, ends up just doing exactly what they don't want, giving them somebody that he thinks is probably good for them to be more left-leaning, perhaps, and who in reality does not support the things that evangelicals support. That's what we're expecting out of Justice John Roberts. You may also be having the same sort of suspicions about him, or maybe not. Maybe you're listening to my voice for the first time, or hadn't heard much about what true conservatives or pro-life libertarians think. But here you have a station which gives you that perspective. Our phone number today, our main line, looks like it's going to be 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. And we're not sure about the other phone line because we've had some technical problems still with one of the phones. So you can try 864-244-8177 also. That's 864-244-8177. But if that fails, please do jump ahead and go to the 864-201-6955 backup line. We'll get you on the air one way or the other. The other thing we've been talking about has been, of course, Hurricane Katrina and God bringing calamity. We read the verse yesterday out of Isaiah 45 and verse 7 that says, "The Lord brings calamity." This is a hard thing for us to accept sometimes, but this is what the Bible teaches. It's God himself who brings calamity upon a people. And although that's very tough, obviously, for us to deal with as human beings, we don't like to think about things in those terms. It's what the Bible teaches. God is sovereign over all. Why does he bring calamity? Well, ultimately, he purposes it for good. Certainly, there are those who are not of his elect, not saved, people who are not ever going to have hope in eternity that may be killed and die in their sins during a calamity. We see that when God annihilated the 185,000 Assyrians in one night with his angel. He also see it when the Red Sea covered Pharaoh and his army as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. And many other times in the history of the scriptures, we find God destroying the so-called workers of iniquity. And when he does so, he does it for a good purpose, not only to protect his people at times, but to sanctify them, to bring good, to bring other people to their knees so they can make other people think about God and his ways. And certainly disasters or calamities that God brings, like Hurricane Katrina, can help people come to the Savior, and that is what we look for, the silver lining in this great tragedy. And we talked about that quite a bit yesterday as well. Well, at any rate, we have a couple other stories that are somewhat interesting to read here. We have something that came up that says the following: help was declined by the U.S. government. Being kept from these American people, also by their military rulers, have been the uncounted offers for assistance from nations all around the world, including Venezuela, has offered their medical airlift command for the evacuation of peoples trapped in these devastated regions. Holland has offered the resources of the Public Works Ministry, and who are acknowledged world experts from far below sea level water evacuation procedures. Russia has offered over 100,000 temporary living structures, along with military personnel, to assist their American counterparts. Iran has offered $1 billion in immediate assistance and guaranteed 5 billion barrels of oil at $35. China has offered their military rescue forces, who were acknowledged as one of the best in the world for rescuing peoples in flood-ravaged areas. All of these efforts and more, the military leaders of the United States have declined, and for their previously stated reason. The United States government and its people respectfully decline your offer of assistance and refer you to our previous State Department bulletin, in which it is stated that this remains an internal action. To read the article, you go to this certain webpage, it says. And, well, what do we think about all of this? Why are we so proud that we won't accept it? Well, is somebody saying, well, we're going to give up military secrets by having people help us in Venezuela? I don't think so. This is ridiculous. But this is what people apparently are using as an excuse for being proud. Or why are people being allowed to die? Now, this is mostly poorer people we know. The people who had any means at all got out of, I think, of New Orleans. But thousands, and that latest figure I saw, maybe tens of thousands of people have died in the New Orleans area because of this this tragedy, and it may well be because have been prolonged, to say the least, because of U.S. government bungling. Now, we believe that here at the Tyranny Response Network that the U.S. government should have nothing to do with providing the dikes or any of these other things that failed for these people. If they want to live in below sea level areas, then they need to build their own dikes. They need to have someone come in and pay the price to do that, to put that stuff up, and not rely on the state to do it. Once you rely on the state to do it, it's subject to perverse incentives, and you may end up having all sorts of problems as a result. And so we're not in favor of that here at the Tyranny Response Network. We need to have private industry do these things. And government is only to be there to protect our rights from those who would seek to prey upon us. And that is certainly the case in the New Orleans area, and they have failed to do so, as looters and thugs now roam the streets. People who were not thought to be so before this have now shown their true colors. So government is completely failing, and in addition to those things, it's not allowing people to send in their aid. So for that, we're sorry to hear. We do not think that that government is doing a good job here when it comes to all of these kinds of things. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've got a break coming up. In fact, we're going to listen to the Bill of Rights, I think, right now. Early on in the show today, and we look forward to hearing from you with your phone calls as we return in just a few minutes.
Show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. I forgot to check the weather this morning. We're going to do that right now.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 64 degrees. Downtown, 64. Anderson, 65. Clemson, 66. Today, partly cloudy. Highs in the lower 80s. And northeast winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour.
And it's good to have our first caller on the line. It's our faithful caller, Chuck, and we're glad to have you here, and welcome to Christian Worldview.
Thank you. It's nice to be talking to you again from your home studio.
That's right. It is nice. I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot more convenient when we can broadcast right from here, and they can pick it up elsewhere without me having to drive somewhere.
Sure it is. Well, you mentioned an interesting subject a minute ago about why we would not accept aid from other countries. I think of two reasons. You name one, pride. And the other cynical thing might be that we want the power that goes with dispensing goodies in the disasters. And that's been mentioned before as one of the things that the Clinton administration particularly worked on was increasing these aid programs and making a big deal about it so that's something we've become ever more dependent on government for.
That's a great comment, and that could well be a very strong motivation for why the government's doing what it's doing. I just assumed that it was national security that was raised here, but, you know, government always tries to find things that will create a dependency state and do what you just said. So that's a good comment, good point. Maybe that's one of the motivations behind what's happening down there.
Well, you have to wonder. And I don't know if you've heard the latest Dave Champion show. I like to get it on the radio early. And he mentioned something similar. But his take was interesting. He said, you know, here we spent all this money on national security, but we don't get anything for it. When we were preparing for this New Orleans, it was not in preparation. Now, we knew this hurricane was coming for days, and yet it came, and there was no command structure in place. There was no relief effort flowing. It was very chaotic. He says, you know, is this any more controlled, any better response than we would have had before 9/11? And probably not.
That's right. It seems like it was a complete bungle that people were not very well prepared, even though they should have been. There could have been other precautions made. You know, we read a story yesterday about all the school buses that could have been used to evacuate poor people, all sitting under about 10 feet of water or something like that, and not being used whatsoever, and not even useful at this point. There was no thought of even evacuating poorer folks from New Orleans. And so it's interesting that there was a complete failure from the government standpoint. I just wonder how much better the free market would have been in helping this, and I've got to believe it would do much better than the state ended up doing.
Well, what I understand, individuals have so far done the bulk of the aid. Now, there's no substitute for government agents in keeping order, I'll grant that. But as far as people showing up with water, food, ready to help, there's been a tremendous support.
Yeah, that they've been turning, you know, there's so many stories yesterday about people saying that FEMA turned away Walmart water trucks, food trucks, things like that, just refused to let them into the city to bring people help, and some folks have died from it, from a lack of, you know, food and fresh water and so forth. It's pretty sad, apparently, what's going on there, and it sounds like a total bungle on the part of the federal government.
Yeah. Hey, you were talking the other day, too, about gas prices going up so fast and people profiteering from that. And I think that's be worthy of a little more discussion. In economics, I get you completely. It will sort itself out. It's not something for the government to meddle in, and generally they make it worse when they meddle in it. I do think there is such a thing as gouging, though. Maybe not in pure economic terms, but if we think of the morality, I would compare it to the story of Jacob and Esau, where Jacob found Esau in a moment of distress and took unfair advantage of it to take his birthright away. And I think this is the very same kind of thing people are doing. And without naming a particular sin, knowing we have God's law written on our hearts, most of us react to that and say, this is wrong. We should not take unfair advantage of people when they're down. We should rather help them and go out of our way, you know, at least give them a market price, not some temporarily insane price that we just know we can get it because they're in distress.
Well, that's an interesting point. There's actually, I think, a fallacy in the reasoning from an economic point of view, and it goes essentially like this. I'll give you some backdrop here. I was in Atlanta yesterday watching the Braves beat the Mets 4-2, and with my kids and some other kids. And when we were down there, we filled up with gas, and gas was $2.99 a gallon. It's $3.19 a gallon in Greenville, at least everywhere that I happened to see yesterday. Now, gas was at its peak about almost $6 a gallon in Atlanta, and it's already dropped considerably, and it will continue as long as there's no government meddling. The analogy of Jacob and Esau only works, and it's true that the heart of man does want to take advantage sinfully of other people, but it only works when there is no competition. If there were, for instance, four or five Jacobs that Esau could go to, all of them offering a mess of porridge or pottage, whatever that stew was that he liked, then he would have a choice. Well, I want your entire birthright. No, I'll just take half your birthright. No, I'll just take, you know, this, and they'll all vie for and compete for Esau's business. As soon as that happens, it has a purifying effect, and it mitigates the sinful actions of men. And that's why competition is so important for mitigating sinfulness in men. When there is only one provider, you can have somebody sinfully taking advantage of somebody else. We call that situation a monopoly. And that's precisely what the story indicated that you're relating to, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I think in the longer term, you're right. In economics, it always works out that you can't sustain a monopoly unless you get government privilege.
Correct. And as soon as you have the government privilege, you know, that they permanently guarantee a monopoly, and you have distortions, you have grief in society, all at the expense of the taxpayer or other human beings in general as a result of failed government intervention.
Yeah, and take one step further in our train of thought, that is probably the one thing that would be legitimate facts. You know, we talk about, well, you know, direct taxes are really kind of immoral because you can't ever own anything. They can tax your property completely away from you. They tax your labor, which is slavery. But if you have a certain privilege, for example, you have a license to be in banking, and it restricts the entry into the market, then to have a small tax. Now, we have a big problem with the rate of our tax. You can't collect that much money in any rational fashion. But a small tax on that privilege of a license, now that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure when I think about the tax structure of things, whether or not it's good to ever grant a monopoly privilege to anyone. My guess is it isn't, because it will always bring a distortive effect socially. It'll never help society. I'm not sure you need to have any kind of taxation like that. Even though the United States Constitution allowed for indirect taxes, it may well have been flawed in its economic theory. It may not be a good thing. And that's why the people in the Congress in America in 1890s to 1900, 1910 were so against the trusts that were made through these indirect taxes and the grief that was caused by them. So it's an interesting thought, but my initial reaction is we need to dump any kind of extortive taxation that creates monopoly, and that would include the indirect taxes allowed to some extent in the Constitution. Not all indirect taxes, but anything that creates a monopoly privilege.
Oh, but you happen to see that Steve Forbes now has a book out about his idea for a flat tax?
Oh no, I didn't see that. I read a review, something about a 23% flat tax on everything, including groceries, and that there was some debate about it. Is that the same book you're talking about?
No, that would be the fare tax. That's the sales tax. What Steve Forbes has been proposing is an income tax, but he wants to get rid of all deductions and special breaks and make it a very even, single rate, very simple.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Of course, simplicity would be a great improvement over what we have now on the one hand. On the other hand, it's still a direct tax that violates the right to property, so it'd be hard to support any kind of income tax at all. And really, if we'd have a very limited government, we should not need much in the way of taxes any rate. That's certainly not taxes in this nature. An indirect tax like a sales tax might be the only thing justifiable if it were small to support a military collective, and I'm not even sure that would be certainly not from a libertarian perspective, but from a constitutional perspective that doesn't create monopoly, that might be one way that you could actually pull it off.
Right, and the proposals I've seen for that I dislike, because they involve having the government send people a refund check. I much prefer to see them do something like exempt necessities and have the tax only on things that you have a choice about whether to buy. I think when you get into necessities, you get into the same kinds of problems you do with an income tax, where it's really unavoidable.
That's true, and it is a problem. Of course, once you give the government the power to tax arbitrarily like that, it raises other problems, like government controlling what it thinks you should eat and what it thinks you should buy. You know, all of a sudden they'll give you the exemption for McDonald's and Burger King, who lobby it real well, but they won't give you the exemption for health food vitamins and things like that. And one company will use it against another company to knock out the competition by making their product tax free and other people's not. Anytime government has the ability proactively to change behavior, it's going to end up with some problems down the road that are usually unforeseen by people untrained in economics.
Well, if you get a chance, you might want to read more about Forbes' book. It's interesting. I like the take that the Wall Street Journal had on it, but they were using a comparative analysis. So the other countries that have acted on that have done better than we have, and I think the same can be said of the Social Security reforms in Chile. And I think these things are useful for knowing whether a policy is a good idea or a bad idea.
Sure. Yeah, it's very interesting heuristic, if nothing else, for helping us think and teach these sorts of things. Well, good, Chuck. Those are interesting comments this morning. Thanks for bringing those up. That one about Esau and Jacob, I think, is especially enlightening for listeners as we think about the sinful nature of men and how God ordained capitalism as He did the way that the free market works in order to mitigate the sinful actions of men. It's truly a phenomenal thing.
Yes, it is. It was great talking to you.
Okay, you too.
Again, welcome back to your place.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for the call, and we're always glad to have your input and others. If you'd like to make a call to the show this morning, it looks like both our phone lines are now working. You have 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. And we have the other backup line, which is 864-201-6955. And the highlights in the news again today haven't changed from yesterday. They're talking mainly about the Chief Justice pick and what we can expect there, as well as we're talking about the Hurricane Katrina, looking at those horrible flooding disasters down in New Orleans. I does see that the major New Orleans levee breach has been repaired, and weeks of pumping are now ahead. So apparently, the 10,000 people have lost their lives. It may be curtailed now, that more will not die on account of the flooding, because they will be able to start pumping water out of New Orleans. No, it goes without saying that something is going to change now in New Orleans. Whether it's going to be they move the entire city out instead of rebuilding where they did, or insurance rates are going to go sky high, or insurance companies are going to build themselves a levee to make sure that this doesn't occur again, something is going to give, and this will not be a problem this magnitude in the future. People are going to be better prepared for it. Anyway, interesting discussion. Appreciate Chuck's phone call, and as always, any of your phone calls as we talk about some of the things that relate to the Christian worldview, deep thinking stuff, important stuff for Christians to be informed about and become the best members in society for being those who are pensive and thoughtful about public policy. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This is the sixth day of September 2006. Glad you joined us. Had a very arousing first half hour of the show with some excellent comments by caller Chuck and about the reasons why government is failing over there and some motivations for their failure, as well as some discussions theologically about how one man can take advantage of another, especially under a monopoly situation, how that's mitigated by competition. Isn't it wonderful that God's common grace allows for things like competition and a free market capitalist system to alleviate, not completely eliminate, but mitigate the sinful tendencies of man towards another. At any rate, we have to check out the weather real quick. Forgot to last the beginning of the show, but we definitely want to do so right now.
Well, right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 64 degrees. Downtown, 64. Anderson, 65. Clemson, 66. Today, partly cloudy, highs in lower 80s, and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome to talk politics. Join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And you know what? If you look on the website, tyrannyresponse.com and tyrannyresponse.net, you'll find that Rippin' Richie has dutifully and masterfully updated the calendar. The calendar shows a Libertarian Party business meeting this Thursday, the 8th, and that's coming up. So we want you to take care of that and check it out. We have a caller coming in, and we want to take the call right now. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning, it's Paul from Georgia.
Good morning, Paul from Georgia. Yes, we were at the great state of Georgia yesterday watching the Atlanta Braves crush the New York Mets. Saw Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones both blast home runs out. We were sitting in left field. You know, always end up being out in left field in the bleachers. And
I wouldn't think you'd be in left field more.
Well, you know, from my perspective, I was on the right side. But they look at me as being in left field, you know? That's just the way it works.
It's a matter of perspective, I guess.
That's right. And they hit the home runs to center, you know? So the kids weren't able to... Kids couldn't catch anything, but, you know.
Yeah, the Jones.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
They've been on a roll. They've definitely been on a roll, sure enough.
They sure have.
That's good. Oh, I want to talk about the FEMA situation and martial law in general how that's really not supposed to be allowable in this country in the first place.
Okay. You're saying that it's not that it, martial law situation in New Orleans and Mississippi, I assume it's both places, should not be allowable in this country in the first place because it was never...
Well, under law and even common sense, you know, why do we want martial law? You know, Lincoln was pretty good with the martial law. And
yeah.
But anyhow, I was watching a free speech TV, a alternative channel on one of the Dish Network,
mm-hmm.
you know, high numbers, and there are some folks being interviewed from New Orleans saying that, you know, there are a lot of Humvees, a lot of M16s driving around, and you know, and they're just acting like bullies and not helping anybody in need, And you know, what's the sense in that?
Not a whole lot of sense at all. The United States military isn't necessarily trained to be to handle these kind of emergency situations anyway. Even if we assumed, which we shouldn't, that government has a role in doing what it's doing over there, Those people aren't necessarily well trained and well equipped to help people in these kind of dire situations. And if you listened earlier in the show, I received an email correspondence showing that many other countries have offered aid, and the United States federal government has refused to allow them to help us, from Holland. And
Salvation is they refuse Salvation aid. You know, not even other countries. Just other relief organizations, the U.S. relief organizations, they've shunned away. I think perhaps maybe it's just a drill to get Americans used to FEMA coming in and running things for whatever reason.
Yeah, and they really do mess things up dramatically. We've heard story after story about the failure of the state in this, but theoretically people say, well, why would the government or why would the state want to allow this kind of tragedy to occur? What people don't realize, and we hope that folks who listen to Christian Worldview will realize, is that states, as parasites, thrive on tragedy. They thrive on crisis. They thrive on wars or make use of any opportunity they can from a natural disaster to prove why their existence is important and why people need to fear the real world and its pressures without them. They want people to believe that if there were not a state there, things would even be worse than they are. And look how tragic this is. 10,000 people have died, and it would have been 100,000 if FEMA didn't step in. And furthermore, if you want it to be less than 10,000 next time, be more willing to fork over more tax dollars, because that's what we need. It's always a question of money. Give us more money, more power.
They'll use their failure as a reason for increased funding.
And haven't we seen that, haven't we, Paul, and the government?
I can see it already. You know, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, or we didn't have enough this. We're going to have to, get more funding, raise more money, increase the size.
Right, yeah, and they'll do that.
I can see it already.
That's what these things are. And I don't know, some people like to say they're planned. I even heard somebody talking the other day, which to me is rather silly, that governments actually create hurricanes and natural disasters. You know, this is overstepping the bounds in my mind. I don't think that a natural disaster is something that can be created by a state. I do think states are opportunistic. And as soon as anything like this occurs, they're going to take every advantage from the fallout of the thing to benefit themselves.
Oh, that's definitely true. They'll take any emergency, and like I said, they'll probably bungle it so they can increase their funding. I mean, that's I believe you're exactly right.
Bungling is success when it comes to government action or state action.
Yeah. Well, good. I've heard people talk about the government creating a natural disaster. I mean, I wouldn't put it surprised if they're wanting to, but I don't know if they can either. The people point to the HAARP. Are you familiar with the high frequency antenna?
Right.
Array, so-called, with the HAARP?
Right.
Is it not Alaska?
Yeah.
I don't know if they could actually get something like that to do disasters, but I wouldn't put it past them that they're trying to.
Yeah, well, that may
some
be true.
They're mad scientists, anyhow.
Yeah, they may want to be able to do that, but that's so. If you know anything about science, and how hurricanes, or earthquakes, volcanoes, all these things go on, it's so far beyond the control of human beings with radar and all these other things they're talking about. In my mind, it sounds just so ridiculous. Now, I'm always having an open mind.
It's way out there. It's definitely way out there. I agree. But I think they're working on it, though. I mean, they have paper money and they have to spend it into circulation somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm not, what was that that movie with Peter Sellers and Georgie Scott? Dr. Strangelove?
Yes, right.
That was I know you're not don't waste a lot of time watching such things, but that's a pretty good analogy, I think, that movie.
I enjoyed that movie watching growing up. I saw that several times, and it certainly has a lot to do.
Yeah,
so
oh yeah, we have a missile gap, we have a cave gap.
Right, right.
That's a clever
right.
Clever movie on several levels.
Sure.
But I don't think. Well, at least I certainly hope they can't create these things. That's for sure.
Right.
Not a scientist.
I think it makes us sound, those on the right sound pretty foolish when they start talking that way, to be honest with you. But
well, that's true. That's true. But again, I mean, they've done a lot of, you know, the government has done a lot of nefarious things to, you know, to,
yep.
To people, to the environment. You know, it's hard to blame people for looking out for such things.
No, I don't blame them. It just makes us look silly. That's all. When we do, when we say these kinds of things, it just seems a little, just a little bit too bizarre. But anyway, I've got an open mind. If someone can prove scientifically how they can actually send a radio wave out or anything else and create an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane, I'm all ears.
Or
I want to hear
or tsunami.
Or tsunami. Yeah, we want to hear all the details about how this is possible. But to me, scientifically, it just sounds so preposterous that
it sounds way out there.
I have to demur. To say. But
okay, very good.
We have an open mind, though. We're willing to listen to any and all comers here if they have a good
well,
theory.
If there's any there are any government closet mad scientists out there, call and give it to you scientifically.
How it can happen.
And prove it. I'm sure there's a few out there.
Right.
But okay, well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thanks for calling. Always a pleasure to talk to you as well, Paul. Hope you call again soon.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're overdue for a break, so we'll jump right now to the break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 6th day of September 2005. Just looking, right before Paul had called, we were talking about the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website that Rippin' Richie so masterfully updates for us. And on the events calendar this week, the only event we have is the Libertarian Party business meeting. All are invited to that, as you know, this Thursday night at the Malden Library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. So if you can attend that this week, I will be, they'll be happy to have you there. No other political meetings on schedule for this week, as I said. However, all the details about different kinds of meetings and organization things and, that are happening are available at tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. I can also check out under the tyrannyresponse.net website, the related media tab. The related media tab shows folks that support the Tyranny Response Network, as well as things that we like to mention and talk about here on the air. One of which is the Times Examiner, which is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. And if you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists, including me, as well as Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family, as well as people, as folks like Dr. Stephen Yates, who's a fellow favorite up here, and had a great article this last issue, actually. The Times Examiner supports the home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. You can call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. We hope that you will. And if you need to place an ad for your business, you can call David directly at 859-6817. Ask for him directly, 859-6817. Ad rates are not expensive, and you'll not only help your own business by advertising, but you'll be able to help a great cause, like supporting this alternative news source for the right views on things, rather than what you get at the Greenville News, or as some people call, the Greenville Noise. Glad to provide that for you here at tyrannyresponse.net. Under the links section, a little further down, you're going to find great links to different places. I'd like to highlight the Libertarian Christians website. They highlight us by putting an online public policy course featuring my audios of important liberty minutes relating to public policy. And those things are also available on the tyrannyresponse.com website. We hope you'll go there and learn about some of these ideas that are discussed there. As a matter of fact, let me just read through some of the titles and you can see why. It's deep now. It's not going to be just, you know, fairy tales and cartoons here, but we're going to talk about some deep theoretical issues about public policy. If you want to be an informed Christian and really understand what the Bible has to say about public policy, you need to listen to this series. It's a growing series. It currently has 9 segments, and it probably will end up having 12 or 13 before the course is finished. Here are some of the titles that you can read if you're there. The Difference Between Government and the State, highlighting the work of A.J. Nock. The Theology of Public Policy in Historical Context. The Theology of Nations and Nationalism. The Divine Ordination of State Criminals and Legalized Crime. Rights, Just War, and Public Policy Theology. The Theology of Public Policies of Enslavement. Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. Christians and Self-Defense Against Criminals, including the State. And finally, the Second Amendment and Public Policy Theology. These are all exhilarating titles, I know, but the content is even more so, because after you listen to these things, you'll be able to become more informed biblically and other and just in terms in general of what public policy to support from the founding fathers on down here in America. It's a great opportunity for you to share with friends these links, and they're also available in print at the policyofliberty.net website. That's my homepage, policyofliberty.net, as well as libertarianchristians.org online public policy course. Hope you'll avail yourself of these things. We're trying to play them throughout the day on the Tyranny Response Network. If you happen to be driving or listening at any other time, you might pop in and listen and see if you happen to catch one of the Liberty Minutes programs being aired on the Tyranny Response Network. They are sort of our heart here, our thinking for activist Christians, for those Christians who want to be involved in changing their society and bringing us back to the vision of the Founding Fathers, the vision of what the Scripture teaches about the nature of the state and what we should use the government for. These programs are there for your enlightenment and encouragement. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us once again this morning. Glad our technical glitches, which we seem to have many, are alleviated somewhat. Well, I have an article that was sent up by the Tyranny Response Network research staff entitled, From the Intellectual Activist, Why I Am Not a Pessimist. Now, this is from an objectivist source. Objectivists generally do not hold to the Christian worldview. They're more of an Anne or Ayn Rand worldview, which is definitely an atheistic one. But it might be interesting to read this. Our research staff thought so, so I'll throw it out there for you to think about. August 31st, 2005. Things have not been going well lately, either in domestic or international politics, with Iraq slipping into the direction of a theocracy light, and the left trying to induce a national Vietnam War flashback, a total loss of momentum for any free market reforms, and new power grabs in the religious right. But it is important to keep things in perspective, and one way I do is to remember back to 1979. I like to say that I am optimistic about the fate of the world because I missed all the good opportunities to be a pessimist. The last good one was 1979, when the U.S. economy was crumbling, inflation and crime were soaring, the Soviets were on the march and from Afghanistan to Nicaragua, and Iran held American hostages with total impunity. We seemed to be collapsing from within and faced conquest from without. That's why the 25th anniversary of Poland's Solidarity Movement is such a timely reminder. In 1980, just as the Soviet Empire reached the zenith of its power, Solidarity would begin to cause its collapse from within. This movement would suffer horrible setbacks, and it often seemed doomed. But only 10 years after being poised to take over the world, the Soviet Union would start to simply evaporate. It's hard to believe even now, more than a decade later, that it happened so quickly, but this has always served for me as a standing reminder of the weakness of evil and the strength of the good. It is a meaning well captured in this column by the Washington Post's Anne Applebaum, and part of the column says the following: "Cross the highway, head toward the shipyard, and look up. When I did so, I did so a few days ago. I saw an enormous billboard featuring a list of cities: Gdańsk, Budapest, Prague, Berlin, Bucharest, Sofia, Kiev. Until recently, it wasn't easy to find public displays of pride in Poland's democratic revolution. Far from seeing themselves as set apart, as part of a peaceful revolution that stretched from Gdańsk in 1980 to Kiev in 2004, most Poles associated the collapse of communism with corrupt politics and personal hardship. Because their official representatives, the government, the cabinet, the ministers, the members of the parliament, hardly seemed worth admiring, many Poles didn't think much of their own country either. Whatever its economic growth statistics, the festivities in Gdańsk showed that some kind of corner has been turned. However much they disparage it, the generation that witnessed their country's transformation is finding that it's become a source of pride for their children and a symbol of hope around the world." And that encouraging note is encouraging for us as Christians, even though it comes from a source which isn't a Christian source, because we believe that God controls all things and that He still exists, that He hasn't simply left the world to perish, that there is common grace, there is His activity and intervention in life. And because of that, although our circumstances seem dire at the moment, there can be dramatic change in even a few short years. And it's possible that although we see only doom and despair in the coming 10 years, in the coming decade, in 2015, where we're doing our radio show, we're looking for the possibility of greater calamity in America and greater grief in society. Although we look at that, we think that's the way things are going because we judge the future based on the past, especially the immediate past, and the way things are rolling. It could well be quite the opposite, that we have a massive revival or a massive change in people's lives, a massive decline in the state, and it's evil intrusion into people's lives in one way or another that actually makes the Berlin Wall fall once again, and people become freer once again. I don't know what that might be, but it certainly is a possibility, and we have to be careful not to rule it out and try to remain optimistic, because as Christians we have a reason for optimism, not about this world system, but we have an optimism about what God can do here in the world. And if He chooses to end the world now and take us all in the next year or two, that's His choice. But if he and we'll be glorified in that, and we'll be happy, we'll be loving every minute of it, and God will be glorified ultimately. On the other hand, if He chooses to allow us to remain, we have hope that He will indeed cause good things to turn here in the world and in society. So, appreciate the encouraging note. I think the research staff was well reasoned to send that thing up for us. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a break again, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles,
and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the 6th day of September 2005. And let's take a quick check at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 64 degrees. Downtown, 64. Anderson, 65. Clemson, 66. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 80s, and northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Okay, thanks for that weather update. Before, I was trying to remind folks about visiting tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com. Lots of reasons to do so, one of which is to sign the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. If you can go to the Related Media tab and scroll down towards the bottom, you'll find there a link that says South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, Save Your Private Property. This is an opportunity to join several hundred other people who have signed the petition that will tell the state of South Carolina that we believe that property is an inalienable right and that they have to protect it. That particular right, we do not believe government can simply do what it did in the Kelo case and take away our rights. I hope you'll go and take 30 seconds and do your duty and sign the petition. It won't take very long, as I said, 30 seconds at the best, at the most, to do that. And we hope you'll have an opportunity to check that out. Also, go and check out the products and audio tabs and see what good things are there for you to feast upon. And click on the contact tab as well. If you're able to send an email to one of the members listed there from the Tyranny Response Network staff, they're looking for volunteers to help produce the Christian Worldview show, to help produce other things in the Tyranny Response Network, and for technological assistance in promoting the program all over the state. There are lots of technical jobs for people who can donate just a few hours a week or even a month to the program to be on call for expert service. So if you can help the Tyranny Response Network out, please go to the website and click on the contact tab and give them a call. You can also try calling Chuck at 864-458-1981. That's 864-458-1981, and letting him know that you can help and you're willing to help, which we can certainly use the help at this time in our history. Well, what other email stories do we have? Well, quite a few, as a matter of fact. Oh, and let me remind you, the afternoon show is very important to listen to. Rippin' Richie Williams in the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse airs normally every day at 4:30 until 6. Now, it's going to be, the time may be changing, he's informed me, but for right now, I think it's 4:30 to 6. Hope you can tune in and listen live on your drive time back to back home. Listen to the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse with Rippin' Richie Williams right here on the Tyranny Response Network. New Orleans paper, fire every FEMA official. Also, cops shoot 8. This is from a New Orleans paper. And it says, New Orleans local newspaper, The Times-Picayune, is blasting President Bush for his handing of response to Hurricane Katrina and is calling for heads to roll within his administration. Every official from the Federal Emergency Management Agency should be fired, Doctor or Director Michael Brown especially, the paper says. Read the latest at worldnetdaily.com. Police shot eight armed people in New Orleans Bridge. At least five were killed. Condi Rice defends Bush against racism charges. Why would you shoot armed people, you know? I mean, if they're shooting somebody else, I can see it, but you want armed people there. You don't want to shoot them. I mean, the point of them, I don't know what happened in this particular instance. Maybe they were firing shots at cops or something. But cops should welcome armed citizenry, because an armed citizenry helps protect people from predators, from people who go about trying to harm other folks. So if there are 8 or 10 people walking around and trying to defend people's lives, then wonderful. There shouldn't be any problem with that. I hope you don't think there's a problem with it, but if you do, give us a call. Remember, our phone number here is 864-244-8177. You can also try 864-201-6955. Condi Rice defends Bush against racism charges. Oh, Condi Rice. 200 cops have quit and two have killed themselves over the aftermath there, and the death toll is in the thousands. New Orleans may be abandoned for 9 months while it's being rebuilt. Anyway, interesting stuff. I want to find here we had an email come in from a listener. I'd like to find that if we can. Here it is. Dr. Coben, are you familiar with the NAESDRES debt relief program? And if so, I'd like to know your thoughts on it. Thank you, Harry. TRN listener. Well, Harry, this is, I think, your first time you've written into the show, and I am not familiar with, I don't even know what the acronyms stand for. NAES, National Association, I don't know. NAES or DRES, Debt Relief Program. And if so, our thoughts. I wish I did know something about it. I don't. I'm not sure what those programs are all about. I'm not sure if it's a federal program or if you're talking about some way to possibly eliminate your own personal debt. There is a website you have in the subject line here. Let's see what it says. It sounds like you're talking about eliminating your own personal debt on mortgages and so forth. Yes, I am familiar with programs that do that. I've not found anyone who is able to actually eliminate it on the mortgage. All I ever find is people stop paying their credit card payments and end up defaulting on the debt. Because of that, it's a signature loan. There's nothing that can be done other than ruining one's credit report. Now, I would be interested in knowing if anyone who has actually gone through the program and got through the legal technicality to let the bank release their mortgage and actually be free of it. I hear a lot of claims to these things happening, but I've never seen any actual evidence of it. I also see that folks end up paying a lot of money to programs that supposedly help them do that, but in reality, nothing ever actually works. So I'm a bit skeptical about it. I'm also a little bit skeptical with the idea of a person borrowing money, getting something real from it, even though I realize it's paper money, it's created fictitiously, and it's fraud. Anything the Federal Reserve does is a fraud, and the whole system is fraudulent and built on moxie, as you will. I don't like any of those. I don't like that fact, and I think that anybody who can get away from it should do so. But if you use that system and you obtain goods and services by means of it, I have a hard time with just walking away from one's debt. It does not seem like it would fit well with the Christian worldview. Now, if there is a legal means by which you can do that under the common law, I'm not talking about legal in terms of statist ideology, in terms of the common law, if there's a way that you can remove yourself from being indebted, then I would be interested in finding out what it is, as long as it does not involve the foreclosure of one's home and losing his home, and also the loss of one's credit report, because you just simply default. Anyway, write in and give us some more information, Harry. Thanks so much for writing the show this morning with that email. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's a something about John Roberts that came up again. The Tyranny Response Network staff has forwarded to me a question for him. Is America supposed to be a republic or a democracy? A man who does not answer this question correctly is unfit for a lifetime appointment of the United States Supreme Court, much less Chief Justice, as announced today. In a July 19, 2005 White House press conference, after President George W. Bush made his announcement with John Roberts at his side to nominate Roberts to the Supreme Court, Judge Roberts said, "Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is both an honor and very humbling to be nominated to serve on the Supreme Court. Before I became a judge, my law practice consisted largely of arguing cases before the court. That experience left me with a profound appreciation for the role of the court in our constitutional democracy and a deep regard for the court as an institution." Continued, "And I want to acknowledge my children, my daughter Josie, my son Jack, who remind me every day of why it's so important for us to work to preserve the institutions of our democracy." Justice Roberts doesn't know that we live in a constitutional republic, and he's going to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Wow. He's already against life. We know that from what his earlier arguing before the court has said on the issue of abortion. He's already against private property rights. We saw that from the Legal Research Foundation's a scoop on him and research on him. And now we see that he doesn't know the difference between a democracy and a republic, or the fact that he lives, at least the fact that he lives in a constitutional republic, or it used to be a constitutional republic. Well, here's FEMA failing on all counts, and someone had mailed this to us from an email list. He said, this is from Dan, "You must all log on to the link above and watch the video of this Louisiana parish president. It's heartbreaking. I must say that I disagree with him on one item he discusses, and that is empowering FEMA with more power. Robert Lloyd and I just got back from delivering 42 tons of supplies to a small town in Mississippi. FEMA tried to thwart our efforts because they were not involved. We made it through anyhow, and hundreds, possibly thousands of lives were saved by the supplies we delivered. We don't need more government intervention. We just need for them to get the heck out of the way. God bless, says Dan. And that's actually Dan Gonzalez. And we appreciate knowing about that, how people and markets can provide volunteer efforts and generosity that exceeds the expectations and desires of state agents like FEMA, who stand only in the way to wreak havoc and make things worse, as they evidently have done. Of course, we've talked barely on the show why they might want to do that, to increase their own power, namely, to create a crisis in a tyranny, make it worse than it could have been, so that they can command more respect or admiration or demand more money from people, and Americans would probably give it to them. Sad but true. Here's something else: a city corrupted by the welfare state. And this is an excerpt about this corruption. Last night, Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco said 300 Iraq-hardened Arkansas National Guard members are now inside New Orleans with shoot-to-kill orders. These troops, under my orders to restore the order in the street, she said, they have M16s and they are locked and loaded. These troops know how to shoot and kill, and they are more than willing to do so if necessary, and I expect they will. Wow. And here is an unnatural disaster. A hurricane exposes the man-made disaster of the welfare state. This is an article by Robert Trasinski. It is taken 4 long days for state and federal officials to figure out how to deal with the disaster in New Orleans. I can't blame them, because it has also taken me 4 long days to figure out what is going on there. The reason is that the events there makes no sense if you think that we are confronting a natural disaster. If this is just a natural disaster, the response for public official public officials is obvious. You bring in food, water, and doctors. You send in transportation to evacuate refugees or temporary shelters. You send engineers to stop the flooding and rebuild the city's infrastructure. For journalists, for natural disasters, and a similar pattern. The heroism of ordinary people pulling together to survive, the hard work and dedication of doctors, nurses, and rescue workers, the steps being taken to clean up and rebuild. Public officials did not expect that the first thing they would have to do is send thousands of armed troops in armored vehicles, as if suppressing an enemy insurgency. And journalists, myself included, did not expect that the story would not be about rain, wind, and flooding, but about rape, murder, and looting. But this is not a natural disaster. It's a man-made disaster. The man-made disaster is not an inadequate or incompetent response by federal relief agencies, and was not directly caused by Hurricane Katrina. This is where just about every newspaper and television channel has gotten the story wrong. The man-made disaster we are now witnessing in New Orleans did not happen over the past 4 days. It happened over the past 4 decades. Hurricane Katrina merely exposed it to public view. The man-made disaster is the welfare state. For the past few days, I have found the news from New Orleans to be confusing. People were not behaving as you expect them to behave in an emergency. Indeed, they were not behaving as they had behaved in other emergencies. That is what shocks so many people. They have been saying that this is not what we expect from America. In fact, it is not even what we expect from a third world country. When confronted with a disaster, people usually rise to the occasion. They work together to rescue people in danger, and they spontaneously organize to keep order and solve problems. This is especially true in America. We are an enterprising people, used to relying on our own initiative rather than being waiting around for the government to take care of us. I have seen this 100 times in small examples. A small town whose main traffic light had gone out, causing ordinary citizens to get out of their cars and serve as impromptu traffic cops, directing cars through the intersection, and large ones, and the spontaneous response that New Yorkers did in September 11th is an example. So what explains the chaos in New Orleans? To give you an idea of the magnitude of what's going on, here is a description from the Washington Times story. Storm victims are raped and beaten, fights erupt with flying fists, knives, and guns, fires are breaking out, corpses litter the street, and police and rescue helicopters are reportedly fired on. The plea from Mayor Ray Nagin came even as National Guardsmen poured in to restore order and stop the looting, carjackings, and gunfire. Last night, Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco said 300 Iraqi hardened Arkansas National Guard members were out inside New Orleans to shoot to kill orders. The reference to Iraq is eerie. It is eerie, isn't it? New Orleans is already evacuated more before the hurricane. At the end of the 300,000 or so who remained, a large number were from the city's public housing projects. Jack Wakeland then gave me additional crucial fact. Early reports from CNN and Fox indicated the city had no plan for evacuating all the prisoners in the city's jail. They just let many of them loose. There's no doubt a significant overlap between these two populations, that is, large numbers of people in the jails used to live in the housing projects and vice versa. There were many decent, innocent people trapped in New Orleans when the deluge hit, but they were trapped alongside large number of people from two groups, criminals and wards of the welfare state, people selected over decades for their lack of initiative and self-induced helplessness. The welfare state wards were the massive sheep on whom the incompetent administration of New Orleans unleashed a pack of wolves. A supercilious Canadian who blames the chaos of on American individualism, but that's not the truth. The truth is precisely the opposite. The chaos was caused by a system that was the exact opposite of individualism. What Hurricane Katrina exposed was the psychological consequences of the welfare state. Living off of the stolen wealth is a way of life for those people, and that's what caused the disaster. Great story, and very interesting to have that. Thanks for sending it up, research staff, on the unnatural disaster. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Charles also sent us an email today. He actually sent a couple, and I haven't had a chance to get through to all of them. Unfortunately, I'll get to some of them tomorrow and the following day if possible. But he introduced me. Actually, he made a call to the Integrity Group and talked to yours truly, as I appreciate him doing that. Don't mind calls from fans, and every week we get some fan calls or emails. At any rate, he called and wanted to let me know about a man who had written a new book, and the new book is called Why I Stopped Listening to Rush, Confessions of a Recovering Neocon. And I'll just mention this particular story or this particular webpage to you. It's from David Allen Black. David Allen Black is living up in the Charlotte or Raleigh area of North Carolina. Dave's latest book is now online. He says, Why I Stopped Listening to Rush, Confessions of a Recovering Neocon is now available. It is my way of challenging all Americans to return to their biblical and constitutional foundations. Here is the table of contents. After the preface, you have introduction, not so much a book as a way of thinking. 2, A Republic or Empire, The Rise and the Rise of American Power. 3, When the Horse Dies, Dismount the demise of conservatism in the Republican Party. Yeah, the horse is dead, so dismount. Cute. Confederate flags, American history, and Yankee myths is chapter 4, how Lincoln's war changed America forever. Chapter 5, not guilty by reason of sanity, why I reject government solutions to our problems. Chapter 6 is brand new American schools, no thanks. Chapter 7, give some people an inch and they'll think they're a ruler, neocon foreign policy and the invasion of Iraq. Chapter 7, the issue of the century, Roy Moore and the Ten Commandments. Chapter 9, cleanliness is next to impossible, why Christians must get down and dirty in their culture wars. Chapter 10, what Easter teaches us. Chapter 11, conclusion, an urgent appeal to all freedom-loving Americans. It's good stuff. And finally, there's some notes, and he has an appendix in his book, The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and something called the Barman Declaration. Any rate, I hope that you'll get a chance to look over that book. We'd like to talk about it here on the show. In fact, maybe we'll try to get David Black on our show here to talk to us, because he sounds like he is someone akin, of a kindred spirit, I suppose, in dismounting the Republican Party and going off to where the people who truly love liberty are at, namely in the pro-life libertarian ranks or among the Constitution Party. Interesting stuff. Well, we also have a couple other articles sent up. I'll try to review them quickly before the show goes over. 1.1 million more Americans are in poverty. 37 million Americans were living in poverty in 2004, according to the Census Bureau. The poverty rate rose in 2004, driven by an increase in the number of poor non-Hispanic whites, while the median income for Americans as a whole remained stable, the government said. On Tuesday, of course, poverty is always relative. It's never going to, can never be eliminated, but it is interesting that according to their reference line, it's actually gone down, or gone up, because of the influx of others. Dear friends of Exodus Mandate, this announcement came out over email. Here is another reason to exit the government schools as fast as possible. There is danger, however, in some of these testing instruments like NAAP becoming standard in some of our private Christian schools. This report from the Minnesota-based conservative education think tank, EdWatch, proves the need to fully implement Christian worldview instruction in our Christian and home schools. This report also shows how the growing radical trends in statism in public education, as it inevitable, they will try to impose the same agenda upon the private Christian and home schools. And we do need to be careful of this. And the civics, a Trojan horse, the newest federal civics bill was introduced by Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican from Tennessee. He said the next step in the federal takeover of education would further extend the power of a special interest group, the Center for Civic Education, over schools and their curriculum. Previous legislation, 860, is being promoted under the banner of preserving our history and founding principles of freedom, and many well-meaning people have been misled into believing it will do just that. Instead, just as Alexander's legislation is set to federal history and civics academies, it will undermine the teaching of our founding principles and extend the CCE's already substantial power of what schools must teach. And this is a problem. They're going to say that slavery is liberty. Skipping on a little bit further here, it said Lamar Alexander and Ted Kennedy's Senate Bill 860 would expand the role of the CCE and federal bureaucrats over school curriculum by mandating that states administer a federal test, the National Assessment for Educational Progress in Civics, U.S. History, beginning with 10 selected states. And we're concerned about this because these people are not those who love liberty, and they're going to be enforcing a socialist mindset on people, and this is a grievous thing. So watch out, and if you haven't done so already, by all means, Christians, stop blowing it, sinning, if you will, and get your kids out of the public school system. The government school is a bad deal. Educate them at home with a Christian worldview. It's a little bit more difficult in some ways, but it's an adjustment well worth it, especially for the future of your children. At least put them in a Christian school, a good Christian school in the area where you live. At any rate, we've come to the end of the show. We thank you for listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Look forward to another edition and having you here tomorrow at the same time and place. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.